Thank you very much.
Vinny, do you want to go ahead and do the roll call if the transcript has started?
Sure. Good morning and welcome to the BC members call taking place on the 8th of February 2012. On the call today, we have Marilyn Cade, Gabriella Spack, Jim Baskin, Ron Andruff, Elisa Cooper, Philip Corwin, Aisha Hassan, Chris Chaplow, Mike O'Connor, Troy Harwood-Jones, Bill Smith, and we have apologies from Fred Fellman, Martin Sutton, and John Nevitz.
Okay, thank you. And if you would just go ahead and call Steve, who's probably in transition, and find out what time he thinks he can join, I'll go ahead and start the agenda, and then you'll be back with us momentarily. Vinny, thank you.
Okay,
folks, let me first of all, Marilyn Cade, welcoming all of you to the BC call. I do want to note that we have with us today our most recent member, Gabriella Slazik, who is the director of the Online Dispute Resolution Regional Program for Digital Economy at the Latin American E-Commerce Institute. Gabriella has been able to join us in a couple of previous meetings. She will be in Costa Rica, so all of you will have an opportunity to get further acquainted with her. Just before Gabriella's organization joined, we also approved the Better Business Bureau, headquartered in the United States as a BC member. And I believe Angeline Hansen, who's not on the call today, but is expecting to be in Costa Rica with us. So you all will have an opportunity to meet both of our two most recent additions as new members. And Troy, thank you very much. Welcome again to a call with the BC. Troy's been a member now for almost, I think it's about a year now. So we began our relationship with Troy's organization actually, I think, in Colombia. So I'm going to move forward with discussion of the agenda. Let me see if anyone wants to add anything to the agenda. I'll just review it very quickly. Chris is going to update us on the budget drafting process, on the ICANN budget process. We will then have a report and discussion with the counselors when they join us on the relative activities and topics for the GNSO Council meeting that is coming up. Any motions or topics. We'll also then turn to Steve to discuss a range of the policy topics that are urgent to be dealt with. I may pull one of those out. Elisa is going to have to leave early, and so I will probably pull Elisa's topic out and move you up front, Elisa, so that you can make your plane. We'll then talk about planning for the Costa Rica meeting and business and outreach and participation events, one in Washington at the end of February, that's tentative, and then one in Europe and one in Prague in June. So does anyone want to add anything to this agenda? Then I think what I'm going to do is ask Chris, I'd like to let Elisa go first since she does have a plane to catch.
Okay.
If that's okay with you. Elisa
Certainly.
Is acting as rapporteur for a it's not a GTLD policy issue. It's the comments on the Who Is Review team. And Elisa, if I could have you give us a very quick update and the timelines and what you're looking for in terms of responsiveness from the BC. That way we won't hold you up when you have to slip out.
Okay, great. Thanks, Marilyn. So just a quick update. As you know, the WHOIS policy review team completed their draft report, and the report itself is quite extensive. And ultimately, the review team laid out 20 different recommendations. And so given this, there were two phone calls with BC members who had expressed interest in this topic. And so on those calls were Mikey, Susan, Steve, and Fred, along with myself. And we reviewed in depth each of those 20 different recommendations, and Mikey graciously took notes, and Susan also provided significant input, which was very helpful. we're at a point now where it really falls to me to draft an initial set of comments. And I expect to have that initial set of comments completed hopefully within the week. The comments are due in March. So I do hope to have that initial set of comments completed, like I said, in the next week or so. And I will send it out to all members for input.
Let me just add, it's Marilyn, that I was able to be on the first working call. And
I'm sorry, Marilyn. Of course you were there. I knew I was somebody important.
Worries. I was just going to make a different point. The walking through this as a team exercise, I thought, was a really useful approach to how we can discuss and provide initial comments to a rapporteur. And I know Mikey's on the call as well. And I just want to mention that we're very privileged that, in addition to Susan, who is the official appointee from the CSG to this review team, Bill Smith and Lynn Guttendorf are there as independent experts. So they are there in a different capacity on the review team, but making a very significant contribution, but I think maintaining their independence as far as this particular review process is concerned. I think once you get a draft out, and I see that John Berard and Angie Grace have both joined. Once you get a draft out, I think one of the things that I would ask you to consider as rapporteur, and we'll liaison with Steve about this, is doing a call that allows the members to walk through the draft comments and discuss them, maybe as one more helpful step to you. But we need to do that, I think, before we end up in Costa Rica, because my understanding is the Who Is group, and Bill may be able to advise us, I see the Who Is review team on having a discussion with the GNSO Council over the weekend, but also I think they're on the schedule for a public session during the ICANN week. Bill, is that right?
Yes, it's right. I don't have that right in front of me, though, but we are planning, I think, several sessions with the community. Let me see if I can find it. You should go on, Marilyn. I'll see if I can find the actual dates.
Thanks, Bill. But thank you very much, Elisa. And I don't know, Mikey, if you want to add anything before we move on. I guess not. Okay. Then I'm going to, Elisa, thank you again, and thanks for your work on this. Elisa is the rapporteur for all things Who Is, so this is just one of the various things that she carries responsibility for. And for any of you who are new, who are particularly interested, I know Elisa would welcome hearing from you. And some of you haven't had an opportunity to interact on this group, but I know Elisa would still welcome, if you have time now, to get involved. It's not a big demand of time. It's just a few more hours between now and the end of this session, the end of this segment of work. I'm sure she would welcome hearing from you. Let me move on, and if I can, Chris, ask you to pick up an update and discussion for the members on a CSG working effort that you're chairing.
That's right, Marilyn. That's the CSG working group on the budget and operating plan. As many of the members will remember, the ICANN budget is in three phases: one, the strategic plan phase, the framework budget, and the budget. The strategic plan was published and we commented at the end of last year. And now the framework plan was published towards the end of January. There's been webinars, there were two for two different time zones, not very well attended webinars by Xavier and other members of the finance team explaining the document. I'll send a quick link to the members on the open list in a couple of minutes with the framework plan document, which is it's a much thicker document than we had last year, doesn't contain as much detail as we would like, but the document, you can have a look through it. The deadline for comments on this is the 23rd of February, and then it's in the new system where the comments on the comments will be in by the 23rd of March, which, and the intervening period, obviously, Costa Rica meeting does sit within those two, so no doubt there'll be discussion on that. And this is all leading to the main budget, which is will be published on the 1st of May. The CSG group, I'll send a link. We do have a wiki. It's in the BC wiki area. And on the group is myself, Marilyn Kay, Tony Holmes from the ISPs, Jamie Wagner from the ISP, Steve Metallitz, and J. Scott Evans. And if there's any members in the BC that want to join us, then you'll still be very welcome. We're still places open on that if you want to. The framework, just very quickly, outlined 13 priorities, and that's 13 ICANN priorities, 14 core operations, what it considered was the core operations that is being conducted by ICANN, and, you know, IANA function, IDN fast track, security, stability and resilience, contractual compliance, ICANN public meetings, and so on. 15 ongoing strategic projects and 22 new strategic projects. The overall ICANN budget is about 70 million. It's a few percent increase on last year. That's the plan. Obviously, the projects amount to about 10 million, where we have more detail. Last year, we just had names of projects. This year, against many of the projects, we've got a financial amount on them. There's too many for me to read these. But what we did at the last meeting we had on just last Monday, we went through these, and between the BC, the ISPs, and the IPC, then we selected items that were of primary interest to the constituencies, although we are quite in line on most things, and also areas that we felt we had some expertise and knowledge and wanted to comment on. So we're in the stage now of putting the first draft together, which we hope to do for Monday next week. So I think very early next week there'll be a document circulated to the BC private list for members to comment on. We haven't got a lot of time, I'm afraid. We're pushing up against the end of the time, and the deadline is for submission is the 23rd. Probably be a CSG joint submission, but it might be BC separate submission as well, or whatever. It depends on the content to see how we play that one. I think that's a quick overall. Happy to take any questions if anybody has any.
Could you link this perhaps for the members, Chris, it's Marilyn, could you link this perhaps in how it relates to the submission that the BC made for special services?
Yeah, the slightly aside to this, or one item at the moment in the budget, I think to the value of half or 500,000, is an opportunity for the what they call the SOAC request, the Supporting Organisation and Advisory Committee requests. So this time we worked together. We showed each other our cards, as it were, with the ISPs and the ISP and IPC. So we've all made requests to the value in total of about 50,000, and the subjects that we requested, if I can remember them, are secretariat travel, officer travel, a leadership program, an outreach leadership program, funding for newsletters, and also funding for BC events, meeting, not to coincide with the ICANN meeting. So those were the five areas. the process for deciding how the process of the allocation of that is still to be determined, and we're awaiting news from Xavier and his team on that one. And fingers crossed that it'll work out better than it was last year for the BC.
I think you're being a bit modest. I think we are pushing this very hard to make sure that it works out productively for the constituencies. Last year, the only funding went to the advisory committees with no funding at all to the constituencies. So there's a lot of work that's gone into this, Chris, and I want to thank you for your leadership on this. Chris is chairing this effort, and it does represent a significant amount of work. And Chris, just remind us again for the notes that there's work, there's drafting going on, and there should be something circulated within the CSG drafters next week, and then it would be sent to the members, right?
That's correct, yes. So I remember we agreed with Steve to sort of put it together on Monday, didn't we, next week? So, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, I would think, next week, back to the members.
Right, with Steve Metallett.
Steve Metallett, sorry, yes.
Steve, right, okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for that update. I see Del Bianco has been able to join us. I just want to move us into, Steve, we've been able to hear from Elisa on an update on the WHIS review team. Chris has done the budget drafting. I would like to come to you and John, who's on the call, to discuss the relevant activities related to what's happening at the council, maybe first from John and then to turn to you for other policy activities, if that's okay with you.
Sure is, thanks.
It's fine with me. Hi, good morning, all. We've got a council meeting next week. I would say the most substantive elements of that are not in the motions but in the discussion, particularly with regard to the moving forward on the cross-community working group draft team, work. I think that's going to be increasingly important for the BC to be a part of going forward, as the issues that ICANN confronts are going to be system-wide and not just the domain of any one constituency. Also, there's going to be some jockeying, I think, for time on the Costa Rica weekend agenda. And Marilyn, I don't know if you want to introduce or if you have in the minutes before I joined any of the takeaways from yesterday's CSG call, but it's pretty clear that the there's a lot more scrutiny now on the level of productivity on the Saturday and Sunday sessions, and trying to make sure that we focus on things that matter and not just focus on things because we focused on them before. Trying to make it a much more prioritized agenda, dealing with issues that may not be just limited to the policy considerations of the council, but to the overall considerations as they relate to the business constituency and, of course, the commercial stakeholders group. The disposition of the Red Cross and Olympic Committee name request that essentially has come from the GAC that we seem to be moving forward on, there certainly will be a level of protection. There are some nuances as to how that will play out. For example, should those protections be designed for the first round and then we can revisit in the second round? Should they be in perpetuity? What are the implications for creating this kind of request and review mechanism? Those are all fairly interesting questions, especially because of the nature of trademarks. As you know, with 190 countries on the planet issuing trademarks, there can be times when those trademarks are at odds, which then should that then devolve just to an auction? Should there be some
other considerations. The explosion of new GTLDs will cause these questions, which have sort of been simmering off, you know, on a back burner. They will now become under a higher heat on the front burner, I believe, and the BC needs to be particularly vigilant and diligent in regards to that. I'll leave, Steve, the consumer metrics discussion to you, if that's okay. There is one motion at this point for the agenda for next week, and it is to move forward on a PDP for a thick who is. If you recall the history on that, essentially the only registry that does not where names are not part of the thick who is, which is a centralized versus distributed system, is VeriSign. And so there was a lot of discussion about why have a PDP, why not just talk to VeriSign and make them do it or negotiate a way for them to do it. I think the decision now looks like, the consensus decision looks like that we'll move forward on a PDP. I think that's an appropriate way to do it. I just sort of wish VeriSign would, and Steve, perhaps you can even speak to this issue as well, would bring some solutions to the table, but we'll move forward on a PDP, and I think that's the right way to go. Steve, what did I miss?
John, hey, that's good, and like you said, there's no agenda or motions posted yet. Today's the due date on that. But if I could comment on the thick who is in VeriSign. VeriSign's a member of mine, and we did talk about thick who is when .NET came up, and the truth is that the registrars are the ones who sell the names for .NET and .com, the ones registries that VeriSign runs. And bringing all the Whois data back to VeriSign, where thick who is, puts them in a position of sucking the data from their registrar community. I can tell you that whatever VeriSign is willing to do, they would much rather have ICANN set a policy forcing the registrars to share that data with the registry as opposed to them trying to extract the data from the registries without them being willing. So it's a tough, it's a wholesaler-reseller arrangement, and having ICANN, who holds all the contracts, make it a PDP decision takes away the sort of conflict between the wholesaler demanding information from its resellers. Does that make sense?
Steve, can I get in the queue on that? It's Marilyn.
Sure.
When we say VeriSign, we're actually talking .NET and .com.
That's right.
Because VeriSign also does some other work in CCs, but in this case, we're talking thick who
right,
is.
Right, this is thick who is in GTLD space for existing registries, and that is only .NET and .com when it comes to VeriSign.
Right, so this would allow us to return to thick who is for the majority of registered names today, 90 to over maybe 100 million, which, while it does, that doesn't spell accuracy, it does spell the potential to be able to achieve some of the other goals that the business users have, which is it's very, very difficult to work with this random group of registrars who don't give standard notices. It certainly is not, thick who is not the ultimate solution to all problems in who is, but it certainly sounds like a significant improvement over where we are now.
Marilyn, this is, if there's no debate that the end result of having thick who is an improvement for the BC's interest, I was responding to John's point of process. How do we get there?
Right.
John,
I understand. I was just going to make a different point. In getting there, are we also going to be able to address any of the other outstanding concerns, like the lack of standardization in who is? In doing a PDP, do we know yet what the scope of that PDP would cover and whether there's ancillary benefit to us in taking this approach?
John, I am.
John, I forwarded to the executive committee a motion that Stefan, I think, intends to drop today.
Okay.
Haven't gotten any feedback on that yet, but that would be the approach, or at least the current status.
This is Jim Baskin. I'd like to get in the queue also.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, thanks. What makes us think that a PDP would actually result in a thick who is? I mean, that's a little bit, I don't know, sarcastic maybe, but I mean, PDPs are, they often don't get anywhere near what the business constituency would like, because the process gives so much control. Anybody can block it, basically. And so what makes us think that a PDP would succeed?
Let me join you in that question. It's Marilyn, because I had been assuming that the maybe we could ask John to comment on, are the registrars, do we, launching a PDP is not the tough topic. It's the outcome of the PDP, as I heard Jim say.
Yes.
Right, Marilyn, from my perspective, the registrars are just want to make sure that they don't lose control of their customers. That strikes me as a business decision that can be, or a business point that can be made between the registrars and VeriSign. Just because you create a thick who is, you don't necessarily then disassociate the registrar from the customer. Just as you have said, just because you create a thick who is, you don't eliminate the domains held by Donald Duck from Anaheim, California. I mean, accuracy is a separate matter. Use and control is a separate matter. I mean, but the idea here is that everything else is a thick who is, which means a centralized database or some notion that centralization in and of itself is a modest step toward accuracy. I don't know if that's true or not. But and if you begin to listen to the calls for adopting at least the verification methods that ICM has used in .XXX, I mean, I think there are three touch points that ICM is using as opposed to one that
right.
is currently in use. That would be a step forward as well. So incrementally, I think a PDP, I mean, to quote Winston Churchill, better to jaw than war. I think maybe a PDP can serve that purpose, if not the book purpose of a PDP.
Thanks, John. This is Steve. Let me ask you, what is the threshold for voting at council on Feb 16th for initiating the PDP? And can the registrar block it? And are you hearing anything that they might attempt to?
Sure. I mean, if the registrars and registries join together, they can block it. But I take some consolation that Stefan is offering it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the threshold to start a PDP is a much easier threshold than to adopt its findings.
Right.
Yeah, this is
right.
Jim Baskin again. I don't think that starting the PDP is the issue. I mean, yeah, people could block it. They could say we need more studies before we can do it. But, it's not whether the PDP happens or gets started. It probably will if a motion is put on the table. But it will never finish, not in a way that will be acceptable to those who are looking for improvements in the who is. It's, you know, the PDP will not come out with any solid results that will be truly usable.
Well, Jim, this is John. That's my point. The PDP, if the motion that Stefan has circulated is offered today, that speaks only to a thick who is. It does not speak to any of the other who is activities that are ongoing that are focused on verification and accuracy and law enforcement access.
Right. Well,
those are still separate threads in the entire blanket of who is.
Yeah, well,
so it's Marilyn. I'm going to get back in the queue on this for just a minute.
And then me again.
Can you circulate, if you don't mind, going ahead and posting to BC Private, John, that the motion you sent to the XCOM? I want to see if I can articulate, I think, and Jim should correct me on this and others. I think what I'm hearing is, so having a thick who is with standard terms and conditions for access, and a centralization of .NET and .com, who is at managed by VeriSign, may be a very positive first step. But if the registrars joined by the NCUC and potentially others create conditions about that move, we may not actually achieve any benefit.
Yeah, okay. This is Jim. To follow that up, I think I have a slight variation on that. It's
okay.
It may be that we're looking for the wrong PDP. I mean, if we can get the thick who is into the RAA, then, or if not we, if I can, whoever, can get into the RAA as a business agreement between, you know, that defines the business agreement between the registries and registrars as to how the data is held and protected and who can do what with it between those two types of organizations. That would be, the best approach for the thick who is. Now, as far as all the other who is problems, that could be what we really need in the PDP to get people to actually put in, to document their problems with making the who is more accurate. And
Jim, this is Steve. If Elisa or Fred are on the phone, the RAA amendments process, that negotiation that's going on right now, I would wonder whether they are addressing the requirements to feed a thick who is and whether it will be applicable to legacy TLDs.
And I would just say, it's Marilyn, I don't think that discussion is going to, it's going to have so many other issues and vulnerabilities. I don't think the RAA process is actually going to achieve. I'll just give this is my personal view. I would like to see thick who is for all GTLDs. So this sounds like a step in that direction, but I think Jim is raising valid concerns about what is this PDT going to get us, and we should look hard at the language, I think.
But remember that, Marilyn, all the language is in the motion is to start with a drafting team, right? So it's the language that's in the draft of the charter that would probably deserve the most scrutiny, right?
Well, sorry, that was exactly what I was going to say. We should look hard at where the allies are and then figure out how we make sure that the drafting team has strong, informed BC participation. Does that make sense?
Well, this is Jim again. I think we want to make sure that we don't just set ourselves up for a long, drawn-out PDP process that gets us nowhere and delays any real progress on who is, whether it's thick who is or any of the other who is issues.
Jim, to quote Winston Churchill again, Berard did, you go to war with the army you have.
Yeah, well, but we've gone...
The army we have is the PDP. That's what we use to make changes to consensus policies that are required to be followed by all contract parties, even if they have existing contracts.
And how many times has it really
worked? That's how we got rid of domain tasting. It's how we got our IRTP Part B. And undoubtedly, it can take long, and the registrars can get in the way, but that's the battle we fight.
Okay.
So this is Bill Smith. Can I jump in as an independent observer?
Bill, hold on one second. I think Jim was going to answer,
no,
then you're next.
I understand your points. They're well taken, but I just see too many times when the PDP is nothing more than a delaying tactic which succeeds in delay.
Without a PDP, there's no way the registry can force the registrars to give up the information. And we're pretty clear on that, unless you come up with a better way.
That's why I mentioned the RAA, but anyway, I'll stop now.
And I will ask Fred and his team whether they have any visibility into that. I don't even know if he can disclose it, because it's presumably a confidential negotiation that's going on. Bill Smith, go ahead.
Well, did everybody see the item that Bill Corwin sent around this morning?
I started to read it.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't yet. Could you summarize it? This is David Ferris. Sorry.
Merely that, I don't think I can summarize it because I would do it. I would not be doing it justice, except to say that there seems to be there seems to be an attempt on the part of staff to manipulate the process to a specific end, which, because of apparently internal disagreement on the part of the registrars, which is making regular progress hard, even an end run is going to be difficult to achieve.
and probably impossible to implement. So I don't know what's going to happen. Kieran McCarthy has got some interesting sources, apparently. I know he was at the Domain Fest meeting in L.A. last week and probably spent a lot of time with a bunch of registrars, which is what likely fueled this post. I got a call into Kieran right now to follow up with him. But I suspect that the self-imposed goal of a new RAA by Costa Rica is likely not going to occur unless this report is totally wrong, or if lightning strikes and sanity rules. And in 10 years of looking at ICANN, sanity has never made it out of the, has always been an also-ran.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Smith, you're next in the queue.
Okay, so this is my personal opinion with respect to who is. Tackling who is in a piecemeal fashion through PDP, separate PDP initiatives, I think, is a waste of time. Unless someone takes decisive action with respect to who is, I believe that's, unless that is done and changes are demanded, nothing is going to happen. And as another speaker said, the PDP will be used as a delaying tactic. It's been done for 10 years. It will continue for another 10 years. That's my opinion. So I suggest what we want is to say, if we, as a constituency, we might want to say, if we are expecting improvements into who is, that we should do it in a manner that that's not piecemeal, that considers all the issues, and does so in a timely fashion. I think getting the registrars to agree is going to be problematic, though.
Hey, Bill, this is John.
I can't hold the key there.
Has there ever been a lawsuit regarding who is?
Tell me what you mean by a lawsuit.
Historically, ICANN responds best to being sued. Has there ever been a group of affected parties who have threatened, at least, to sue ICANN over its who is policies?
Not to my knowledge. It's Marilyn. Can I make a follow up comment more broadly, Steve, on this topic?
Sure.
I just want to welcome David Ferris and Mark Sloan to the call and the discussion. Let me see if I can capture the landscape as I know it on who is. The who is review team is doing a significant amount of work. The BC is providing comments on it. So will other groups. It is going to have some overarching recommendations, and as a product of the AT of the affirmation of commitment and the commitment that ICANN has, the board is going to pay attention to improvements in who is. The SSAC has put forward some concerns and issues related to the lack of accuracy in who is. Law enforcement continues to focus on this issue, and the GAC continues to be significantly interested and engaged. So that's the landscape that I see.
This is David Ferris, if I could get in the queue, too.
Great, great. Along comes the question of whether existing legacy GTLDs should move to thick who is, leaving aside the rest of the surround I've just spoken about. I believe there is, I support the idea that the party in question is probably willing to move to thick who is, but it will be a significant cost to do that, and this will represent a change in status and access to information for the registrars. I think we have to think of these two things as parallel but very related streams of work. and we might not be able to affect, we may have to try to affect the move to thick who is. There is another way that could possibly happen, I think, and that is through the introduction of this as a registry service that goes to public comment, is approved, and is then implemented. I think that process would also allow the registry to introduce Thick Who Is and move to Thick Who Is, and the public comment process is outside of a PDP.
Marilyn, this is Steve. Before we go to David, I wanted to add that a registry service would not be mandatory on the registrars to reveal the information that it would need to actually work. That's why a consensus policy through a PDP is the only way to compel the sharing. David Ferris?
Yeah, I was simply going to add to the list of interested parties in this, the child safety community. I don't know if people have been following
right.
some of the blogs in the child safety world, but they're starting to become very concerned about the lack of accurate who is data. And I think we just need to think more broadly about our allies and to get them engaged and more vocal as we continue to work on this issue. And as Marilyn knows from our participation in a Who Is task force almost 10 years ago, you know, we've tried to deal with this in a holistic way in many times in the past. But what always happens is it gets sliced up into piece parts and makes it very difficult to get a holistic solution to the problem. I definitely support a holistic solution to the problem, but that's just something that we need to consider as we define our strategy.
Thanks, David. Adding child safety to the landscape helps, because the landscape in Dakar showed that the GAC and law enforcement agencies were really upset that there was no movement on RAA amendments. It was the most emotional moment in the entire Dakar meeting. Coming out of that, everybody expected great things from these RAA negotiations. But if Kieran McCarthy's report is accurate, things are not going well, and they have yet to tackle the hardest issue, which is verification of who is data, let alone you have to share it with a registry as part of a thick who is. Are there any other comments on this one? Because it looks as if we would definitely vote to do the PDP, and we would want several people from the BC to be engaged in the drafting team if that can be arranged. Any other comments on it?
When you say we would definitely vote, doesn't it take, it takes 25% of each house, John? What's the threshold?
Excuse me, you're talking about at the council level?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the. I'm going to look it up specifically, but it is the easiest threshold to meet.
Yeah.
I'll find it in the bylaws specifically. Hold on. I'll come back to you on it.
Because assuming that the vote is positive, the BC could also abstain and provide. And I don't know that we need to play our hand by providing comments, but. We could consider splitting our vote with one councillor voting in support, another abstaining. That provides an opportunity for later input or management of the. But I think the point that Steve has made, that we're going to need to, Steve, it sounds to me like we're going to need to have an internal discussion on the language of the charter, and then representatives active on the charter team as well. Is that what you were proposing?
It is, and I believe that when the charter is put together, if we're unable to get the teeth in that charter that we want, that's another opportunity, I mean, an even more important opportunity to abstain and comment and make a stink about the fact that the charter's too weak to actually get the solution we're looking for.
Okay, but it's Marilyn. I'm just going to say that ICANN has unfortunately developed an attribute that is similar to the UN. No group ever started at the UN ever dies, and apparently no PDP ever started at ICANN ever dies. So if we have a PDP that we think is harmful, do we have a strategy to fix that? And can maybe that's something to park, Steve, as a question?
It is, but I don't think you really meant harmful. It might be toothless and go on forever, but we don't think the PDP is in and of itself harmful, do we?
This is Jim. Can I get back in the queue on that?
Marilyn, did you mean harmful?
As a point of information, this motion would require more than 33% of each house or more than 66% of one.
As you said, low threshold, then. Thank you.
Jim wants to speak. I'll just say that, yes, Steve, I think PDPs can be harmful.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was going to support the notion of harm, that could it be that approving the beginning of a PDP at this point would provide ammo for those who are opposing any WHOIS activity within the RAA process? That they could turn around and say, oh, no, we can't, we shouldn't add anything in with the RAAs right now because there's a PDP on this subject, and we should wait till they finish that.
John, what about that idea of asking for a deferral, waiting for the RAA to provide a quick fix we all want?
Well, you know, it's a time-honored fashion to, you know, bury people in paper, and I agree with Jim that it would give opponents an opportunity to say, hey, we really can't deal with that until the other thing gets settled. I don't really view if you look at the issues that we have with the who is, a thick who is probably not in the top three. I mean, wouldn't we be concerned about at least three other things like verification and accuracy and access before we would even think to get to a thick who is? So I guess in that sense, and in the sense that the more that is going on, the harder it is to drive to a conclusion, right? I mean, so you got all this all these discussions going on alongside. What you want is as the core as the core discussion. Yes, it could be distracting. It could be used as a shield. And if we don't think it's going to get us anywhere, then why support it? You know.
Right. Let me propose something, and then see if the folks on the call want to support it. Then this is a 3-part plan. First, for us, we would say the RAA is a better way to who is. Number two, we don't want to give the RAA negotiators an excuse to punt on thick who is because a PDP got initiated.
Or any who is.
Therefore, number three, we would ask our counselors to ask for a deferral of the PDP initiation motion, and they would explain why, because they prefer to have the RAA fix this and don't want a PDP to be an excuse to ignore thick who is in the RAA negotiations.
I need to be in the queue. It's Marilyn. I'm not actually sure that we know that the RAA can achieve thick who is. The RAA is the registrar agreement, right?
This is Ron. I'd like to get in the queue also, please.
Yeah, Marilyn, the part of it is the forcing the registrars to share it with the registry. That's the reason the PDP is needed.
But the I think this is much more complicated in the existing GTLD guidebook requires the new registries to provide thick who is. Maybe we should ask for a deferral, but with a little more liberal comments of we'd like to explore what the range of options are, because both VeriSign fought very hard to have a statement, a requirement that any service that is offered by a new GTLD can be offered by legacy GTLDs. And maybe we haven't, maybe our deferral, Steve, would be making a statement about recognizing the critical importance of moving to a standard thick who is environment for all GTLDs, legacy and new, including IDNs, recognizing from our standpoint the priorities of verification, access, accuracy, that we would like to first hear the outcomes of the RAA work and take into account other research
and then bring this back up for discussion in Costa Rica, which would be the next.
Marilyn, so you have better rhetoric, but it sounds as if you support the idea of asking for a deferral. So we could work. Let's hear what everyone else thinks, and if they think that's a good idea, we could draft the rhetoric that could be used to justify the deferral.
This is Ron. I'd like to be in the queue.
And anyone else in the queue on this?
This is Ron. I'd like to be in the queue, please.
Okay, go ahead, Ron.
I've been listening to this with open ears, and I think Steve, you started to hit on what my question was going to be. What is our alternative to a PDP? You know, deferral is one way to go, and I think that makes a lot of sense in terms of this RAA and having read through Kieran's report. We do not want anything right now that's going to give anyone an ability to sidestep the obligations that that RAA, the new RAA, should achieve. But what other alternative would we have if we don't want a PDP on this issue? Because I agree with Jim Baskin and others who've spoken on this call that a PDP is just a delay tactic. Much as it's the only tool we have, is there any other option? Thank you.
This is Jim. I can get back in the queue if I can.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think the deferral, at least my initial thought on a deferral, was not a permanent deferral, you know, but rather that we've got a very specific time frame, I think, for an RAA. I mean, maybe it's unrealistic to have it done by Costa Rica, but the RAA has to be redone, and it has to be redone in a reasonably short period of time. I think the deferral could be for a set period if the RAA is not complete.
Jim, deferrals are really just one meeting deferral for council. That's all you do is request you defer it till the next meeting.
Okay, well, but it could be deferred again, couldn't it? I'm suggesting maybe the deferral isn't the right word. Maybe postpone any initiation of a PDP on who is until the RAA process is completed.
Hello?
I think, Steve, I think what Jim is saying is similar to what I had said, which is, you know, the deferral would be in order to wait until the results of the RAA work is announced, examine any other options to achieve the QIS, but support a call for a requirement of the QIS across all legacy and new GTLDs, including all IDNs. I wanted to answer Jim's. Jim, it's difficult to get a second deferral unless the council agrees to that by consensus, which they might do if the GAC has beat us all up in Costa Rica. But otherwise, it's difficult to get a second deferral, right, John?
And that's why I thought...
Yes, maybe, that's correct.
Maybe deferral isn't the word we should be looking for. Maybe we should defeat it and say we're not defeating it because we don't think anything needs to be done, but we're defeating it because we want it defeated now because we believe that this is not the right time and a deferral will not solve that problem.
What if we...
John Berard, this is Steve. Should we ask Stefan, explain our point of view, and ask Stefan to withdraw indefinitely for the reasons stated here?
Well, based on what I've seen so far, it hasn't been offered yet.
Well, if it were to be, perhaps it's all the more reason to get to Stefan now and ask him to sort of sit on it until the RAA negotiations are done. I know you're the guy always looking for a way to do things without being confrontational, and that strikes me as a good opportunity.
What time is it in Paris right now? 6 o'clock?
Yep.
All right, I'll see if I can get a hold of him.
And if not, and he introduces it, we should take a look at whether a motion could be made to defer with a date certain as opposed to a single meeting deferral. I'm not aware of it being done before, but who knows?
You could pursue, but we would have time to do that, I think,
yeah,
to think about the language.
The meeting isn't until next week, so we'll have some time to work this out. It's been a great discussion, though. I think we all know we want thick whois and the legacy TLDs, but we want to get there as fast as we can, and the RAA is a better way, and maybe this motion is could actually work against our interests if it gives an excuse to the negotiators to ignore thick whois.
Or any other whois. discussions.
Well, they wouldn't be able to ignore the other who is because those the law enforcement is hammering hard on verification of data. It's part of the REA renegotiations. So why don't we table this issue while John Berard is going to pursue asking Stefan for these reasons not to introduce it, but if he does introduce it, we will work with our counselors to come up with a deferral request.
Right. So
that gets us out more than meeting.
Okay. I'll let you know what goes on.
That's fantastic. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Marilyn, do you want me to do a couple of other quick updates on policy matters?
Yes, please.
John, was there anything else that you're aware of through the back council emails that is critical on the agenda for council next week?
I don't think there is anything on the agenda that is critical, as critical. I would encourage people to Jonathan Robinson has issued offered a motion to adopt the draft principles of the cross-community working group, as I said earlier. I don't think that there's any problem with that. And beyond that, it's just the discussions and establishing the agenda that will be govern Costa Rica.
Thanks, John. Let me run down a quick list of items. IRTP Part B transfers. There's a public comment period closing, and it's only with respect to whether the board should proceed with recommendation 9, and that has to do with locking of a domain name undergoing a transfer. The BC commented favorably on this as recently as August the 8th of 2011, and the BC had several members who were really active on the IRTP Part B team. Is there a need for us to comment to the board? And if so, we could simply reiterate the comment we submitted in August, which was that we endorsed the recommendations made by the IRTP Part B working group, and we encouraged the board to vote in favor of the motion as drafted, and then we supported it at council. Is there a need? Anyone on the call feel the BC needs to say it again as the board is considering it?
Steve, it's Marilyn. I'm just going to note that for the public comment processes are often empty, and I think we actually, our experience is the staff does not go back and look for the previous support, so I think we have to resubmit it. I'm not suggesting we have to change it in any way.
Great. Anyone else have a feeling one way or the other?
Chris, hey, Steve.
Yeah, Chris, I was about to come to you next and ask you whether you could help to turn that existing email into a new one that we could reiterate our position. What are your feelings on it?
I was going to say, as far as I can think of, the only thing is just to simply reiterate our position, and I was going to ask Mikey if he could think of anything that I couldn't, and then ask the strategic question, is that a good idea or not? And I think Marilyn's answered that one. So,
Mikey, and I don't know if Mikey's on the call, but Mikey and Chris, I'm going to forward you the comment we submitted in August and ask you to see whether we would update it to reflect the current comment period. And since we're reiterating position, I would take the stand that we do not need to subject it to a 14-day review as many other things are in the charter. Any objections to that?
Steve, it's Marilyn. Any existing position does not have to be revoted. So if we're just, and the charter is clear on that, so if we're just reposting an existing position, I think that all we need to do is just repost it, just resend it or send it to the new mechanism, the new public comment process. Because we're not asking members.
I always just try to be as careful as I can about process. The exact words we used in August will have to be changed a little bit because they're speaking to a slightly different step in the public comment. But I understand that, Marilyn. If nobody has any objections, we ought to be in good shape on this.
Okay, Chris here. Steve, if you want me to submit it or if you submit it on our behalf, either way, let me know in an email.
I'll send it to you and Mikey. I'm glad to submit it, but I want you and Mikey to wordsmith the August 8th so that it applies more directly to the public comment that's outstanding, okay?
Okay.
And great. And like you said, Marilyn, we'll proceed with that since it's an existing position.
Right.
Great. All right. One other item is there's a public comment on defensive applications at the top level. This was stimulated by a handful of companies advertisers in the ANA and the CREDO, the Coalition for Responsible Internet Domain Operations, they insisted that a lot of brand holders would have to file applications for their top-level domain as a defensive measure to stop someone else from doing it. The BC participated in those discussions and tried to indicate that there's pretty compelling ways to stop someone else from getting your top-level domain. No one else could get .Verizon, for instance, if Verizon simply objected as a rights holder. Nonetheless, ICANN is conducting a sort of a different kind of a public comment period where they just reiterated the kinds of protections there are for the top level, and they're asking for public comment on it. And it closes on February the 27th. So there's not a report. There's simply a two-page list of what the protections are like with respect to objections, and they're asking if anybody wants to comment on the adequacy of those measures. Now, the BC does include companies that may pursue a top-level domain of their own, a single registrant TLD, but if they're doing so for entirely defensive reasons, I would encourage those companies to look at the ICANN comment, because if you feel that you're having to submit an application strictly to defend it and you don't intend to use it, well, then maybe the BC would have something to say about this. I'll take a cue. Are there any comments on whether we should comment on this?
I'd like to be in the queue, Steve. It's Marilyn.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I think the BC has tried to influence the guidebook in an informed way all the way through to have balanced, responsible mechanisms. We've been disappointed that ICANN has ignored much of the business user input in favor of other input. But I think we ought to comment on whether the top-level mechanisms are adequate. Use it also as an opportunity to inform ourselves and other businesses we might like to recruit on those mechanisms. I'm not making a judgment right now. I don't agree with ANA's assessment myself, but I'm not expressing a judgment on whether the top-level mechanisms are fully adequate. I know they are not fully understood, and yesterday on a different call with the CSG leadership, Chris mentioned an experience he has recently had that I've had recently myself. A lot of companies are just now, and associations, are just now becoming aware. So I would think we would want to analyze this and provide some kind of at least short statement from the BC and use that for multiple purposes, including a dialogue with the GAC.
So you see it as an opportunity to state the BC position in a way that educates current and prospective members and as well inform the GAC about our attention to this matter.
And if members find inadequacies, I think it's better that we define the inadequacies. If we
Marilyn,
find...
you and I were at the meeting at the Commerce Department on 21st of December where Fidelity was complaining that Fidelity is not really a trademark term and they do not want .Fidelity, but they feel compelled to apply for it because if someone else applied for it, they'd want to be in the auction and they'd want to win it. So in that respect, they consider it a defensive application because they'd rather not have it, but they can't use trademark to block someone else from getting it.
Steve, this is Bill Smith. Could I jump in?
Go ahead, Bill.
I don't think Fidelity is alone in that position.
Of course not.
So I think you know, there are any number like that, and I think many applicants may be doing so at least partially for defensive reasons.
This is Jim Baskin, if I can get in the queue.
Were you done, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. So if any of you haven't, before I turn to you, Jim, if any of you haven't seen it yet, what the ICANN comment asks for is it says, ICANN seeks public comment on the sources of the perception that their protections are inadequate, and they want to know how it can be addressed. So they are sort of opening the door to get some ideas. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I wanted to agree with what was just said, that you had used the example of Verizon. as a TLD, and how nobody else could really take that. Well, Verizon's a made-up word. Any company whose name is a dictionary word or anything like that is, you know, facing a real dilemma as to what to do. And you know, Apple, just I think is probably a prime example. They may have a better case than some others, than Fidelity maybe, but still, an Apple is an Apple is an Apple, and there's lots of different things. And so, yeah, I don't think that the current mechanisms really provide protection. But how much protection is necessary? That's one of the questions. I mean, you can't.
Jim, in Cartagena, Bertrand de la Chapelle and I floated the idea of a provisional application. So Fidelity or Apple could file an application, submit the fee, but it would be provisional. And if no one else filed for it, they wanted to be able to get their money back and withdraw the application. Is there an interest in pursuing an idea like that within the BC?
This is Bill, if I could jump in.
Go ahead.
There's all in filling out the application incurs significant costs, okay? Potentially tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
In addition to the fee, you're
saying. Marilyn, I'll just say, myself, I think provisional applications may also create concern on the part of some corporations, legal teams, who would be wondering how that might be interpreted in the market. But
Chris,
the question here is not other answers. We might come up with other answers, but the question here is, are assessing the existing defensive mechanisms at the top level and providing a BC comment on it, right, Steve?
Yeah, Marilyn, but as I indicated, it's a two-part question. I can't seek comment on where the sources of the perception are that it's inadequate and, quote, how it can be addressed. We certainly have examples, and I gave one for Fidelity. Other people have agreed. We could give examples of why we think it's inadequate in the guidebook today. And I was also going on to say, do we have any ideas for how it can be addressed? But that's an option.
Well, it sounds like if we agree we're going to provide comments, the deadline must have just been posted because I missed it. I was on the website a couple of days ago. Could we form a, for those who are interested, in, could we have a call to discuss this further that you might organize?
I'll put out an email for all those that are interested and see if we can pull together a drafting team on putting together our concerns. And we'll separate into two parts, the sources of the concern, and then separately the option of offering ideas. Okay, any other comments on that?
The only other comment I want to make is we have a document that's out to members. It's on pause right now. Members are supposed to be providing comments to it. There is a section that this is not in that ballot that you sent out. But
that's right. That this topic is not in there, right?
Right. I think we just want to note that for members. We probably would need to marry this discussion at some point.
I wouldn't let one hold the other up, though. I mean, if ICANN is currently gathering input on specifically top-level defensive applications, we ought to dive into that, right, and not hold that up while we amend the letter.
I'm not suggesting we amend the letter or the ballot. I'm just saying for members that when we come into Costa Rica, both of these work items would need to come together at that point. That was all I was saying.
Makes sense. Any other comments on the idea of a drafting team on this? Any volunteers that I can write their names down now?
Well, you can add me to it. It's Marilyn.
Excellent. Marilyn. Jim Baskin, how about, Verizon's not exactly in the place. Bill Smith, any of the rest of you who mentioned, would you be interested in being on that drafting team? Okay, we'll
Chris,
put that.
Steve, I'm not volunteering, but I would have thought Martin might be interested with HSBC because anybody with initials will find themselves in a similar position on that problem.
This is David, either Jana or I would probably participate too.
Great,
and,
David.
I don't know if Mark...
Not news for sure, right?
No.
I'm not sure Mark Sloan's still on the phone, but if he is, and we might want to reach out to... Benny, if you would just take a note. Steve, we need to reach out to...
Okay.
The finance guys that are... whoever took... probably just...
Financial Services Roundtable?
Yeah, and ask who might participate if they're interested.
Hey, this
Great.
Is Mark Sloan from... Go ahead and include me as well.
Thanks, Mark. Fantastic. Look, Marilyn, I only had two other items before we get to the implementation improvements letter or ballot.
Okay.
A quick update. John Berard briefly mentioned the IOC, that's the Olympic Committee, and Red Cross. And I sent a note around the other day asking BC members your opinion on the certain options that we'll be considering today. I'm part of that working group. Jeff Newman is chairing it, and it's an attempt to be responsive to the GACS request that Red Cross and Olympics be given reserve status. And I don't have to get into the details right now, but I had one reply from Sarah Deutsch, who said option three, we shouldn't necessarily imply that this is only for the current route. And I noted that concern. Ron Andruff, did you have something you wanted to add to this Red Cross consideration?
Thank you, Steve. Yes, in fact, during this call, I posted to the list our thoughts. And we support the three recommendations that you are sending back on those options 5, 2, and 3. But the only note I made in there was two, actually. One, the relationship between the GAC and the ICANN community has certainly grown over this last year or two, but particularly as we've honed in on their scorecard and so forth. So the relationship between the GAC and the board is quite strong now, all things considered, in relation to this long history of ICANN. And it's important that we continue to work closely with them, in my view, because that will be the only thing that will keep the ITU at bay. If we've got government that is fighting our fight, I think that's very helpful. So I would look to see if we can support their needs, the GAC's wishes. But we also need to make sure that if, in fact, and this was my note to the list, was that Olympic Airlines would like to have a dot arrow, that there would be some kind of a mechanism built in your final report that would allow the IOC to give a waiver, if you will, to Olympic Airlines by sending a note or a letter to ICANN saying that they have no problem with Olympic Airlines dot arrow or such some like. So that's just as long as we're thinking about the second level as well as the top level in this discussion, so that there's no confusion as we move down the road and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a situation where we have to create a new policy to try to correct the old policy that we didn't quite get right.
Great observation, Ron, because one of the questions that the working group will address today is whether these reserves would extend to the second level. And I can tell you that Jeff Newman, the chair, and everyone on the working group wants to be responsive to the GAC, but at the same time bring up operational details, not to be obstructionist, but to be sure that you don't create a policy that really won't work. As you said, if Dot Olympic Air wants a TLD and the International Olympic Committee says, we're fine with it, well, that ought to be allowed to proceed. But the way the GAC letter was phrased, reserve names mean you cannot proceed. We're trying to get the flexibility that if the Olympics or Red Cross wanted to say this is not a problem, that it could go ahead. Any other comments on IOC and Red Cross? Great. And I only had one other item. As you know, John Brard and I are part of a working group that's been hammering away at coming up with definitions and metrics for consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition in the new GTLD program. We're within a week, I think, of finishing draft advice, which will be posted for public comment and discussed at a presentation we're going to hold on Wednesday in Costa Rica. I circulated the latest draft the other day, and John and I were part of a two-hour call yesterday where we made some significant edits. So sometime in the next 24 hours, I'll circulate another draft. And again, I invite BC members who want to see changes in that draft to get to John Berard and I very early because it's much easier for us to change the draft while it's in the working group than when we're out for public comment. John, anything you wanted to add on Consumer Trust Group?
No, I thought it's starting to go pretty smoothly. The framework's in place. I don't think that there are any dangling participles or extraneous matters, and so I think we should be able to drive to conclusion pretty well, which also means that your suggestions can be integrated or not in short order, so that nobody's left wondering if their comment was heard or incorporated.
Yeah, that I had. I got so much on my plate today, but I hope to get those edits in today, and then I'll send it to everyone on the BC as well.
Steve, it's Marilyn. Does that include my my edits? I don't know if that you can call them edits.
We brought your points up yesterday with respect to pricing in the competition category.
Okay.
Thank you for that. We didn't finish yesterday on competition, so that still remains to get the next call, which will happen next Tuesday. Hey, I'll close that off. Marilyn, kick it back to you to what you wanted to handle on the BC recommendations for improvements. That's that outstanding letter that we put out for a 14-day review. You mentioned it earlier on the call. I'll close with one editorial comment. Ron Andrup was talking about the need to be respectful of the GAC as a way of preserving the multi-stakeholder model. It occurs to me after reading Kieran McCarthy's post that the GAC and law enforcement are about to get stiffed by the registrars if they walk away from the RAA amendment process. So it'll be more important than ever that the rest of the ICANN community show a lot of interest in cooperating with government. Thanks.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure you weren't searching around for them.
So, really? Steve, is that it for policy topics?
Other than our draft letter on recommended implementation improvements, and I'm happy to answer questions on that, as I know you are.
I think if you would just lay out our process, we're running out of time. If you would just lay out our process to remind people the publish date, the comment process you'd like to see, and what we do next, that'd be helpful.
Marilyn, this is John. Before Steve does, I've got to drop off now. I apologize. Anybody has any follow-up that they want to pursue, please. I'm easily reachable, and unless I'm asleep, I answer my phone. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
Bye, John.
Steve, do you want to just, if you don't mind, the process?
Sure. We sent it around for review with an opportunity for members to look at it for the full 14-day period. And the idea is that at the end of that period, we hopefully will have collected comments from members. We can answer questions that you have about the two parts of the BC letter. And again, these are sets of recommended implementation improvements for the new GTLD expansion. And at the end of that period, if there are a substantial number of objections, our charter calls for objections by more than 10% of paid members, and these would be objections to the somewhat new items in Section 2 of the letter. Section 1 is simply reiterating with documentation previous BC position. So if, in fact, we have more than 10% paid members who object to some of these Section 2 items, we could at that point conduct a vote on those items. And the officers in the exec comp figured that should be done by the newly seated officers. And when we first sent this out, we had no idea how many candidates it would be for officers. As I understand it now, none of the officers have more than one person standing. So I guess we know who the officers are likely to be, and they will take it on board to see whether we would have a vote on that. The idea would be after the 17th of February, we would finalize, whether through voting or just consensus, and be able to submit that to ICANN in time to have it there for 2 weeks prior to the Costa Rica meeting. And, of course, we would leverage the opportunity to discuss those improvements when we all get to Costa Rica. Anything else you wanted to add, Marilyn?
Well, I think one of the things we need to be aware of is the timing, because we really have to wrap this up. Once the balloting closes on the – once the elections are announced formally, then the officers will – determine whether there's a need to have the 5-day ballot, and members should just be aware of that.
and be sure if they have comments on your excellent document and format that they are submitting those comments so those can be digested in the meantime. We can't wait till we get to Costa Rica to have positions that the BC is going to take. So Steve has done a great job on this. We've actually been discussing these topics since the middle of December, and I think we've done a lot to make sure that any member who objects to the discussion has an opportunity to express that. But they need to, if you object to something that's in that document, you need to submit that in writing on that document. So that's the only point I want to make sure so people don't miss that. Then I think we're close to needing to wrap up. I think we only have 2 minutes left. I just want to, we have a number of topics we haven't covered. I want to cover two very, very quickly, and I do mean quickly, and then I'll send an update with Benny's help on other things. John Berard made reference to a discussion that took place yesterday with the CSG leadership. At the last ICANN meeting, the chair and vice chairs of the council came up with the idea that the constituencies should make a report on what they talk about to the council. Within the CSG leadership, that was not supported, and the way we chose to deal with it was the BC reported on our newsletter and outreach activities, and the other two CSG constituencies made similar comments about the work that is going on that the councillors are our delegates into the GTLD policy council process, and they will carry any messages and reports that are relevant to the constituencies into the council. In the meantime, though, we have made progress on the idea of that we'd like to promote, and that is a discussion of an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, that would take place over the weekends at the ICANN meetings that would be facilitated by the chairs or designees of the constituencies, and we would focus on a cross-ICANN topic, not a GTLD policy topic, but topics that are about ICANN governance. So in this case, the CSG leadership is proposing the topic of participation in public comments at the ICANN level, not the the council level, but the ICANN level, and a discussion about the budget. We also discussed the possibility of adding one other topic to that. We will be socializing that idea with the chairs of the other SGs and constituencies, and we'll be making a proposal. If Costa Rica provides an hour or two to do that, it would be on Sunday. In the future, we would propose to do that on Sunday afternoon, and it would look more like a general assembly for those of you who've been around ICANN for a long time, and we would invite the ALAC to join us, and members, everyone would speak in their individual capacity, but it would be a sharing opportunity on a limited number of topics that's more about ICANN governance and an effort to elevate, again, the leadership from the constituency level and the membership level. So I wanted to just mention that to you all because you'll be seeing a written proposal on that coming out from the meeting from the CSG, and undoubtedly we'll be needing to discuss that further. I need to give you guys a written report on the planning for events for Costa Rica and for Prague. I'm just going to spend a minute on this so you're aware of this and can mark your calendars. There will be a social event that we'll be driving as the business users. We're including the other two constituencies from the CSG, so it'll be all three of those constituencies, IPC, BC and ISPs, and the local business community, and that will be either Monday or Tuesday night. We'll have the full board and ourselves at that social event. On Tuesday morning, we'll have breakfast with the GAC, and the topic will be, and that means there'll be about 140 people at breakfast. So it's going to be quite, at least if the GAC delivers their 70 people, it's going to be quite, it'll be the largest breakfast we've done. The topics right now that are proposed are the RAA and the ICANN's responsibility to act in the public interest on its decisions. It's going to be largely a get-acquainted opportunity for all of our members with governments. We'll be talking more about preparation for that. Our board meeting for the CSG, the board dialogue, is Tuesday morning, 11 or 11:15 to either 12 or 12:15. So you'll get a full schedule from Benny, but I wanted you to know those opportunities and be able to plan your calendars accordingly. There's the possibility of a BC, let me call this a business initiative outreach session, the end of February in Washington. But right now, I've got to come back to everyone and see if we have, it will not be organized by the BC, it will be organized by individuals, because we need to do that in order to be able to develop the support for it and broad outreach. But the BC would have an opportunity to do recruitment. And our target would probably be, we would probably make a concerted effort to reach out to the ANA companies and ask those of you who have relationships there to help us get them to participate. We'd have a panel on SSR, a panel on who is, and then have only one session on new GTLDs and a final session on how to work with an ICANN and how to get involved. I think I should wrap up now, but let me open it for any comments from members before we close this, and then the rest of the discussion can be provided in writing. Any comments from members?
Marilyn, this is Bill. What's the date of what you were suggesting in D.C.?
Well, I'm going to send dates to the BC list, Bill, but I'm looking at the last 2 days of February or the first day of March. We would need to do remote participation for folks from, particularly for you and Susan, to be able to participate if you can't come in person. And if we get an agreement from that, we'd have enough of an audience. I'm negotiating to have a keynote. That's the wrong term. I'm negotiating to invite Larry Strickling to give a lunch speech. So it's all going to depend on whether or not I can get him confirmed.
You know that overlaps with Wicket, right?
I do, unfortunately. For those of us, those of you on the line who aren't immersed in. There's a an ITU Wicket Council working session in Geneva at that time. But I'm not so let me post some possible dates, and Bill, people can comment on better dates. We just need to do something before we go to Costa Rica if we're going to try to get the outreach to these business guys. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Good point, though, that I probably had ignored that. Anything else from members? If not, Benny, can I ask you to stop the recording and the transcript and thank everybody for your time with us and tell you that we will have one more call, and Benny will be reminding everybody of the dates on that, one more preparatory call. Before we end up in Costa Rica.
Marilyn, Chris here. Thanks for pushing us along to finish in an hour and a half. That's a help. Thanks.